What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to the Toast and Happy Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, Friday, Friday,
getting down on Friday. You have to round it out with that.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God, this has been the longest fucking week ever.
Can you believe it's Friday? What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I'm gonna scream, I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna strip. Like, I'm
just gonna strip.
So this has been the longest week ever, and like everyone that I've spoken to has said the same.
Yeah, I feel that.
I know everyone's like, Mercury is in retrograde.
Oh God. I went to an event yesterday. It was really fun. It was like a nice charity event. And before we started, like everybody went around and said their name and their sign. Ugh. And I was like, oh my God. Fraudulence.
Wait, no, like I was on a date last night and the table next to me was this group of girls and like I just like overheard them like talking about like their signs the whole time.
As a society, like the amount we talk about signs is it's a signal that we are unwell.
Yeah.
And like the amount of like the emphasis.
Amount of, yeah, like the amount, it's one thing to just be like, oh, I'm a Taurus and you become stubborn. The amount of like, we put our like life's decisions into our sign.
We won't date certain people. Oh, he's a Taurus. I can't.
Yeah.
Like what?
No, that is not for me.
Me neither. So I was like, I'm a Cancer and a Jew. That's what I said. I don't have any sort of relationship to my sign.
My only relationship is that Tauruses are notoriously stubborn, which
but
I
feel like, you know, you could like say that about anything. Like they could say like, Tauruses are, you know, bright. And we were like, yeah, Margo's so bright, you know?
We wouldn't say that, though.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's so general.
Yeah, you can make it work. It's like when you read your horoscope. Remember those fucking apps? And you would, like,
make
it. No,
even in the back of magazines.
Yeah, you would make it apply to your life, even though it had nothing to do with it.
They're like, I do have a big financial decision coming up this month. Yeah, it's called rent, and you pay it every month.
Yeah, literally.
Everyone has one. I can't. So, hey, Counts, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
What are you wearing today? You look, is that Chanel?
Yeah, it's Chanel by Toast.
Margo's wearing our new Toast merch that we launched yesterday. I know a bunch of you got it, but if you haven't gotten it yet, this is the pink new crew neck. We also have another crew neck in teal that I wore yesterday on the Toast. It has a slightly different design. You look stunning, Margo. Really, truly stunning. Margo's wearing mine. It's a size large, so it's very oversized. I feel like you probably could wear like a medium for a better oversized look.
Yeah, but I love an oversized.
Me too. You look gorgeous.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. This is like in my face.
That's okay. Fix it.
Fix it.
Good.
It's fixed.
So I heard you say you had a date last night.
I did.
How was it?
It was good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. Moving on. So what's new? I mean, you don't have an outlet anymore in the Snatcher. Is there anything you want to update the Toasters on? So,
I mean, I was here last week. Do I have anything that I want to update the Toasters on? I mean,
any good books you've read?
Oh, Things We Leave Unfinished.
That's my next book club book.
I know. Thank God. I'm annoyed that you haven't read it yet because we like can't talk about it. But it was seriously so fucking good. It was basically like, do you even know what it's about?
No, I want to know nothing.
Oh, so then I won't say what it's about?
No, but please don't. But you are saying it's like the best book you've ever read.
In a really, really long time. Like,
I love that feeling.
I have had such a book hangover with it. And it was just like so good. I normally hate like alternating timelines. But this was just like, was so well done. Like, and there's like twists and turns. And I was just sobbing. It was just such a good book. And there was like spice too.
Did you ever read Love in Other Words?
Yeah, I told you to read it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I feel like
it's the better version of Every Summer After.
Okay, I actually feel like you didn't tell me to read it.
No, you literally,
I give you credit. You tell me a lot of good books, but I remember just like discovering it.
Nope. No.
Okay, how did you recommended it to like me on FaceTime or?
No, like, yeah, I think I either told you on FaceTime or like you like posted a story of like thinking about reading the book and I was like, oh my God, you have to read it. It's so fucking good.
Oh, so I did find it. And then
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if that's what happened.
Okay, so Margot said, I posted it being like, should I read it? And Margot said, yeah. So you...
No, but by the way, you didn't discover it because like it's a book everyone had been reading.
I'm not saying I discovered it, but like I meant discovered it on Goodreads. Like I found it on my own. I didn't create it. I didn't write it.
Right, but like it was a trending book at the time.
No, it wasn't. Not at the time. I was very late. Mm. I was very late. Mm. I was very late. Mm. I was late. Not early. I'm not gonna, I was late. In our family, we are so obsessed with getting credit.
You, specifically.
Everyone.
You.
Okay, but because nobody fucking gives me credit.
Because you make shit up.
Okay, I invented Casey Musgraves in this house.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I invented, what else did I invent? It just feels good when like you discover something and then everyone becomes obsessed with it.
No, it's my favorite thing.
But to the point where it's like, I discovered Megan Maroney.
No, you didn't.
Oh, you fucking bitch.
No, you fucking didn't. Anyone who had TikTok, like, of course.
I discovered Megan Maroney.
No, you didn't.
I have proof on my Instagram. Like, I posted, before she ever released any single song, I posted a video of her singing Hair Salon. She was like, this is a song that I've been working on. I'm like, I waited a year for it to come out. Like, a year before her first song ever came out, I knew about Megan Maroney. So don't even fucking try. Jackie gives me credit for Megan Maroney.
Okay, but no offense, Jackie's not on TikTok.
Facts. Okay. But I invented Megan Maroney. I've invented a lot of things that nobody gives me. Oh, this is the big one. I came up with Magnolia.
No, I knew you were going to say that. No, you didn't.
I came up with Magnolia.
No, you didn't.
Name.
No,
I came up with the name Magnolia.
You did.
I remember where we were. I remember where we were. I remember where we were.
I remember where we were too.
Okay. Because first of all, Magnolia was the second dog in the house.
Yes.
So I was the one who actually.
She was a lady of the house.
I basically got Magnolia. Like Magnolia, like by a court of law, like belongs to me.
Oh,
like, oh. I was the one communicating with the breeder. I set up all the travel and like I took you to the airport. So I did a lot. Maybe I don't own. Okay. I don't
take credit. I paid for her.
You paid for her. So I did a lot of the work. And I remember we were thinking of names before she came. And I literally said Magnolia. Let me finish, bitch. And then you were like, were obsessed. And then you were like, oh, and that Brett
Eldridge.
Oh my
God.
Song.
Oh my God. You literally are a liar.
I'm like, not a liar.
You actually made it up. I was obsessed with the song Magnolia by Brett Eldridge before I decided to get
but
a dog.
But you didn't even put the two together.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
You
yes,
know what?
I did.
I don't need your kind of approval. I know
no,
I came up with Magnolia.
No, you didn't.
Wow,
no, you didn't.
Family's fucking disgusting.
Oh my God.
I know I came
up
with it.
We just don't treat liars well.
I'm not a liar.
You're a liar.
Actually, you're a liar.
No, you're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're a
liar. I was sitting on the blue couch when I said it, remember?
I remember all of it, but you didn't say it.
So she remembers.
No, and Claudia has this thing, and Ben will back me up here, where she literally creates memories, like will pretend, like make up a memory in her head and say it as fact and just expect everyone to believe it to be true.
No, that's not what happens.
And it's literally... Like,
no,
you make shit up.
No, I'll say, and I'll always
ask
Olivia or Jackie because they have really good memories. I'm like, am I making this up or did we blank? And Olivia will be like, you're making this up or no, that actually
happened.
Right,
because you make things up.
Yeah, but I know when I'm making them up and I know this is not a made up story, bitch.
Yeah, it is.
So Megan Maroney, Casey Musgraves, and Magnolia. What do you take credit for?
What are like Ooh. Things that you like to your core?
Oh, that's a hard one. I feel like there's a lot like music wise.
I agree.
Like I feel like.
Oh, also one more thing. I didn't invent, but like I was the OG in this house of Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I thought you were going to say Luke Combs.
No, we all came to it at the
same
time.
I feel like we all came to that at the same time.
Actually.
Oh my God, I'm going to get out.
No, wait, Margo, and I have video proof.
No, honestly, there's just no way.
Margo, I have proof.
No, you didn't.
Yes. The first year me and Jackie did CMA Red Carpet, I believe it was 2018, When It Rains, It Pours, like just came out and we were on the carpet and I was saying to Jackie, I'm like, we need to find that redheaded guy. He's so cute and he has that song. I don't think I invented
him. If it was
him.
When It Rains, It Pours came out, like he was already huge. So you didn't
no, he wasn't.
Him.
Like the song had just came out and then like.
I was a fan of his with like fucking like Outlaw and like Sheriff.
Margo, you know about those songs only after he got famous.
No, yes, no. And also him on Vine.
No, I'm just want to say, like, maybe I didn't invent Luke Combs, but I was definitely the first in the family.
No. Oh, hard no.
I was.
No, because it was definitely me. Also, because I've always been obsessed with music, so I've always discovered everyone first.
No.
But you just like to run your mouth
you know
and
what
talk about it.
Spotify should do.
What?
They should show you, like, when you first listened to a song.
Yeah.
Like, when you first discovered
they
it.
They also should show you how many times you've listened to a song, like, when it's not just Spotify Wrapped. Like, if I just want to go see how many times I've listened to Long Live.
No, if I want to, like, go back date and be like, when was the first time I heard Out of the Woods? You know, like, I think that would be a cool feature. Free idea, Spotify. Like, You first heard this song on September 17th, not my wedding anniversary, 2017. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kacey Musgraves, Megan Rooney, Magnolia,
I would
Luke
like
Holmes.
This conversation to end.
Okay, well, I guess we could dive into the stories because that is what you're here to do today. And I'm feeling like, you know, you're just not in like a credit giving mood.
I'm not because I only give credit where credit is due.
And credit is due. So that's good to know because I do my credit on all four of those things.
No.
So we've got a great show. We've got stories. Taylor, of course. Some book news. The book adaptation of It Ends With Us that I cannot wait to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I think.
You think?
You think?
I think. I think so too.
For the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know. And the Fast Five Stories That You Need to Know are brought to you by State Farm. The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create a plan that gives you options so you get an affordable price. And it comes with a lot of benefits, like the coverage you want, a policy that helps cover what's important to you, and an affordable price just for you. Because after all, life is just better when you can personalize your experiences. You know, like for me, being so young and personalizing playlists with, you know, unknown artists like Kacey Musgraves, Megan Maroney, Luke Combs, Brett Eldridge, etc. But no, Jackie and I are always saying so many things in life are so personal. And Jackie and I are like literally carbon copies of one another. We have the same life, but even our personal price plan from State Farms are so different. Like Jackie's a homeowner. She has two cars. I own nothing. I have nothing to my name and I'm a renter. So we have different needs, you know? And so personalization means that you have the power to choose what you want to include and what you want to leave out. It just feels better that way. And why shouldn't insurance work like that too? That's what State Farm Personal Price Plan is all about. You can choose to include options like bundling your home and auto policies. That means you'll get the coverage you want at an affordable price just for you. In the end, you'll have a policy that gives you exactly what you want. Doesn't that make you feel better? It does. Like paying for like a big bundle of things that you don't even have just because like that's what's offered is moronic. And State Farm could never be moronic because like a good neighbor.
State Farm is there.
Okay, wait. Let me do one and then you do one. You guys tell me. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That wasn't great.
That was horrible.
Okay, you do one.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, you stunk it up too. Well, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I think we should have done it together.
Call or go to statefarm.com today to create your State Farm personal price plan. Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary. Today's episode is also brought to you by Perfect Bar. Oh, I have a personal anecdote I want to share. If you're looking for a protein bar that actually tastes good, well, look no further than Perfect Bar. With their lineup of fresh-from-the-fridge protein bars, Perfect Bar is exactly what you've been looking for. No chalky artificial aftertaste here. I just got a huge shipment of Perfect Bars to my home, and Ben walked in eating one, didn't even ask, like, hey, Claudia, is this your special snack? Do you mind if I have one? He was just eating one, and he was literally, he didn't even know what it was, and he was talking about how he feels like he doesn't get enough protein, because he can't really eat meat that's not kosher or whatever, and he's eating this bar, and he's like, I really need to start eating more protein. Like, do you know any good protein bars? I'm like, you're literally eating one, Ben. And he didn't even know because it was so delicious.
Same.
So it's made with freshly ground nut butter, organic honey, and 20 organic superfoods. Perfect Bar has a variety of products like protein bars, little snack size bars that are also good and good for you. You'll be sure to find something you love. Ben's favorite, which was my favorite too, was the chocolate chip cookie dough that I had a big delivery of yesterday, and that's what he was eating. So delicious. They have a cookie dough texture that's creamy and full of flavor. They're not raw, excuse me. They're unlike any other protein bars out there, and now they come in a snack size, which is packed with up to 6 grams of protein and 150 calories. They're made with only whole food ingredients, and they contain no artificial preservatives, so they are stored in the fridge. Grab one after a workout for a quick bite while you're out, just being busy, and you can feel good about what you're snacking on. Perfect Bar knows that it'll be love at first bite, so for a limited time, they're offering you a chance to try their refrigerated protein bars for free. Here's how it works. Sign up for email or texts and upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store, and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar. It'll go directly into your Venmo or PayPal account. All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. That's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. All right, our first story has the book community, but also the film community rattled.
Okay.
We've gotten a bunch of news about the It Ends With Us casting. For those who don't know, It Ends With Us is a book that was written by Colleen Hoover, went super viral over the last few years. Every celebrity, Kylie and Kendall, were both reading it. And now they're making it into a movie. And so far, we have gotten Blake Lively.
I take credit for Colleen Hoover in this family.
100%, because I give credit where credit is due, and I wouldn't have known about Colleen Hoover if it wasn't for you, because you started reading before me, because I give credit where credit is due.
I also take credit for reading in this family, before Jackie.
I give you credit for credit is due, because you were on tour with me in 2018, and bitch, you wouldn't even talk to me because you were reading so goddamn much, and I'm like, this fucking nerd better stop reading. Yes, you did invent reading.
Thank you.
Because I give credit where credit is due.
No, I gave you credit for Kacey. I gave you credit.
You fought me on Megan.
I did fight you on Megan.
You fought me on Luke.
I absolutely will fight you on Magnolia.
And you fought me on Magnolia.
But I feel like you brought other things. Brought good hair.
You're a bitch. Okay, so far the cast list that we've gotten has been like very meh. We've gotten Blake Lively as Lily, which I wasn't crazy about.
Me neither.
We also got Justin Baldoni as Ryle, which I was not crazy about either.
Because he's producing it, like we're directing it.
I also don't have like a connect. People love Justin Baldoni because he was in
Jane the Virgin, Raphael.
And I never like, I don't feel connected to him. I don't dream about him. He's not like a dreamy man for me.
No.
So I have like, he means nothing to me. Mm-hmm. Love Blake Lively. And I support women of all ages. She's far too old for this role.
Well, also, I just like my favorite thing ever. And like what I feel like we've done as a society is like with like shows like Summer I Turned Pretty, Outer Banks. Like we find these people and then we become obsessed with them. Like even Riverdale.
We discover new talent.
Yeah. And so that's what I thought, that this was going to be the perfect opportunity. Like I thought Sophia LaCourte was going to get discovered and become a movie star because she would be Lily.
There were so many good ideas put out for like burgeoning actresses who haven't had like a major break yet, who are kind of known, and it would have been an amazing opportunity. So I was let down for that. And then I also just don't see her as Lily
at all.
So we actually have some positive casting news, because the 1923 breakout star who I was literally talking about with you last week on the toast.
We were talking about 1923. I haven't watched it yet.
I know. And I said like, you have to watch it because this guy.
Oh yeah. Maybe.
Is so hot. His name is Brandon Sklenar, and he is going to play Atlas Corrigan in the adaptation of It Ends With Us, which is already starring Blake Lively. So he has been known for his role in Yellowstone prequel series 1923. He's landed another major role. He's joining Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni to star as Atlas Corrigan in the film adaptation of Colleen Hoover's best-selling novel, It Ends With Us. I am overjoyed. You know what he looks like, yes?
Yes.
And this is a bad picture.
So cute.
In 1923, Margot.
Was he Michelle Randolph's love interest in the show?
No.
Oh.
That guy was annoying.
Oh.
He's the oldest brother, so I assume it's like he's the next line of succession after.
He's the next Dutton.
He's the next Dutton, but it ends on a cliffhanger, so like we don't really know. Mm. But he is so hot in the film, and he's in South Africa for most of the show.
Yeah.
So he's just like being like a safari man with like his knife and like his bow and arrow, and like he's so hot, and he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
And he's very classically handsome, and I honestly, it never would have crossed my mind to put him in this, but I could not have thought of someone better, honestly.
Yeah.
Which is just so crazy, because so far every other casting has been like really bad in my opinion.
Horrible.
So who is left to cast?
Now it's the young, so now they're casting young Lily.
Yes. Oh, and young Atlas.
Yeah. And maybe young Ryle, or no?
No, there is no young
Ryle. Oh, yeah, it's just young Lily and young Atlas. And for young Lily, and I believe they're doing like what we want them to be doing.
The Summer I Turned Pretty vibes.
Yeah, because I've seen a bunch of people, like Sophia LaCourte posted a TikTok, like she auditioned.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like a pipe dream.
No, no, she auditioned. I don't know what ended up happening, but she auditioned. And then this other girl came up.
If you guys don't know, Sophia LaCourte is a TikToker. She has red hair. She's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
She's perfect. She's a nice girl. And I would love that for her.
I know.
Oh my God.
And then other people have been coming up, like, got my call back, like, get ready with me. I think they're encouraging that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and what they're doing, which I find interesting, is, like, all the people that they are having, like, audition are people who sound like Blake Lively. Mm. Like, you know how Sophia, like, can sound like Blake?
Yeah.
So this other girl that I saw, like, sounds exactly like her. So it's, like, they're looking for people who literally look like a young Blake Lively.
Are you only seeing that for Lily, or are you seeing that for...
I'm only seeing it for Lily.
There was a lot of, like, a movement for the guy who plays Conrad in The Summer I Turned Pretty to be the young Atlas.
Oh.
Which he actually does look like Brendan Sklenar.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good call.
That would be good. I love him.
Who? Conrad.
Conrad.
Me too.
Not the other one.
Jeremiah. Not Jeremiah. I hated Jeremiah in the books, and I hate him more in the TV show.
No, so annoying.
But we did just get a poster and a...
It's coming this summer.
Not a release date, but a...
I'm just so excited for the soundtrack.
No, I can't...
Even though second season, like, if you know the books, is like...
Stinkeroo.
Stinkeroo.
I have been chasing the happiness that I felt last summer when I literally remember I was in Montreal for a wedding, and I watched the whole thing on the hotel TV while Ben was in the other room. Like, I have not been as happy as I was in that moment.
Same.
Watching that TV show. I felt like a little kid. I felt far too old to be watching it.
Yeah.
The music was literally tailored to me, Kim Petras, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I've been chasing that high ever since that day.
Well, hopefully we get it back this summer.
I know. Even if it's not like, because we know what happens in the book, we won't spoil it. Even though it's not like the best like storyline. I love Cousins Beach. Like I love...
I want to go to there.
I just love... They really... It was a perfect adaptation. I don't think... A lot of people were all bent out of shape. Like, there was no debutante ball in the book. Like, who cares? It's just a means to an end.
Yeah.
Like, they have to change some stuff. And the small things that they change, like, I don't think in the book Jeremiah was bisexual. I don't think it really,
oh, yeah. I
don't think
about
it
that.
Affects the storyline. Like, no. I actually felt like they did a perfect job.
Yeah, I agree.
But Jenny Han does that. Like, to all the boys I loved before.
Yeah, but that fell off.
Beyond.
Big time.
But that first movie was,
it altered, like, the
world.
Atmosphere.
It altered, like, my brain chemistry. Bless you. She sneezed on it. It's true.
I was just trying to see if there was another one coming.
That's it. And then, you know, there was The Kissing Booth, too, which...
Oh, was but that
that's
Jenny?
Not, no, no, I'm just saying. I always consider those movies to be, like, in the same...
Why do we always have to ruin things by giving it a sequel? If it's a movie.
No, here's the thing, Margo. I'm so glad you brought that up. And I've said this on The Toast 100 times, and I know you don't listen, so I'm sorry if anyone's hearing this for the second time. This is what happened. We all saw The Kissing Booth, and we were obsessed.
Obsessed.
Obsessed. Then we saw To All the Boys I Loved Before, and we were like, oh, this is a movie.
Yeah.
And then we went back and watched The Kissing Booth, and we were like, oh, this is a low budget community theater. I cannot believe how much I loved The Kissing Booth the first time. And then I watched All the Boys I Loved Before, and it took it to another level that I went back and watched The Kissing Booth. I'm like, how did I ever like this?
I never even watched the second one.
I did watch the second one. It was Joey King playing with her ex-boyfriend who hated her so much, and she hated him equally. There was, like, the chemistry was off the charts horrendous because these two people wanted to slit each other's throats.
Oh my God.
Like, it was very contentious.
Yeah.
And it was just, that was a whole, but I did love that time when Netflix was, like, churning out young, like, YA.
Yeah.
Like, the one where Noah Centineo is, like, blindfolded.
Oh, yeah. Like,
with Barb
Perfect
from,
Date or something.
That was a terrible movie where she, like, literally tricked this guy.
I'm so glad, like, as a society, we've moved on from Noah Centineo.
I totally agree.
Like, I'm happy for him and whatever he's doing, but I'm just so glad, like, I'm not being forced to watch him anymore.
It was a flash in the pan, and he was literally everywhere and in
everywhere.
Everything, and we couldn't escape him. And in the
and by the way, I, like, thought he was, like, amazing at the time.
Margo, after the first To All the Boys I Loved Before, I was literally so creepily obsessed.
Like, yeah.
I got the hype, but they ruined it. Like, yeah. Too much.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So I'm obsessed with this casting. Like, I feel like this casting was done just for me.
I'm so happy for you that at least we got something.
Are you happy? I'm not feeling any, like, excitement.
Well, because I didn't watch, but yeah. I'm like, he's hot, and I'm just glad, like, that it's not, like, someone basic, you know?
Like, you're going to trust me.
I trust you for sure.
But I do feel like he's younger than
Blake Lively
and Justin Baldoni.
Well, Ryle's supposed to be older than Lily, so that's fine. But Blake and Alice are supposed to be the same age, right?
Brendan Sklenar is 30.
Oh, and Blake Lively is...
Not 30.
Not 30.
Blake Lively is...
We'll go 38.
35. Okay, not terrible.
Oh, that's not bad.
All right, now while we're at it, Justin Baldoni is... Huston Baldini Afe is what I wrote.
They didn't pick it up?
39.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's a little confusing.
Yeah, I don't
know. It's a little all over the place. But I'm so here for it. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, everyone who made this
possible.
Is
this her first
adaptation? Yeah. I do believe other books of hers have been purchased, but not so many books get bought just so that other people don't make them.
You know what I have to say?
Yeah.
The only person that should be allowed to make a book into a movie is Hello Sunshine Productions.
Yeah.
And I think about this all the time because it's so glaringly obvious. But I think that what she did was genuinely the smartest fucking thing ever. It was like, she started a book club because she loves books.
Me and Jackie talk about this all the time.
Started a production company and then just, like, buys the movie rights to all of these books and then just makes amazing films with amazing, like, she does an amazing job and she probably makes so much money.
Margo, her company was just invested in by BlackRock. It's over $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, that's not surprising. Like, I just think, like, it's a no brainer.
No, the whole arc of it makes so much sense, which is why it's so successful. She loved to read and she would think, like, this should be a movie. And then she's like, wait, I work in movies. Let me start a production company. And she's just a talented, like, producer and actress. So she knows how to make it good.
Yeah.
Well, she's done Crawdads, which was great.
Great.
She did Little Fires Everywhere, which wasn't amazing.
I never finished it.
Big Little Lies. Was that her? She was in it.
She's in it. I don't know if she did it, but there was one that I just watched. Oh, this is going to kill me.
Daisy Jones.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I want to talk about that because last time I spoke to you about Daisy Jones, I told you that I, like, wasn't feeling it.
By the way, and also I wanted to update everyone. Jackie started it yesterday.
Oh.
And she's hating it.
Oh, yeah.
And she said exactly what I said about Daisy. Like, she is not the right actress.
So now that I finished it, I'm, like, obsessed with, like, everyone in the cast.
How did we get here? How do we get out? I used to give us something to see.
But I didn't read the book.
Oh.
Because when it was like trending, like everyone said, like that I asked was like, you would hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm not going to read it. So yeah, I can't say like based off of what I would read if it was good, but like, I just thought like, I mean the cast, I'm obsessed with them. Like Camilla Marone, like
Suki Waterhouse, the two of them. I would take a bullet for.
Yeah. I love them. Like, I just like love like all of it. I thought it was just like so well done. Also the music was so good, which is
some
crazy.
Some of it.
No, like most of it. There wasn't a song where I was like, this is bad. Like The River.
Tennessee down to the river. Yeah, because you know they
Aurora,
had,
like
they had really good people. Marcus Mumford is a part of music. Maren Morris. They had good people.
I know, but like it's just so rare that like music that you never hear and you like love it.
Yeah.
So
totally random side note, but I think this is a good footnote for this story. I forgot to make it a story, but I'll just add it. Are you seeing all this Jessica Chastain drama?
She won't sign the book.
Okay, so Jessica Chastain is currently in a play on Broadway that's like really critically acclaimed. Apparently she's amazing in it. And every night when you're on a Broadway show, you go out the back door and there's people waiting for you with like, you know, posters to sign. And I guess last night or 2 nights ago, somebody brought her a copy of The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo and asked her to sign it. And she said no. And there's been a lot of hoopla. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is a book that has been purchased for adaptation. And there's a huge movement for Jessica Chastain to play Celia St. James. She's this redheaded actress, very old Hollywood. And really, Jessica Chastain is perfect for it. On Watch What Happens Live, she was asked about it. Andy right. asked. And she was like, I've heard about it. Send me a script. Like, I'm down. So this video of her saying no to signing the book went viral. And people are like, she read the script and she hated it. She doesn't want to do the book. Like jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
That she put out a statement and she was like.
She put out a statement?
On her Instagram.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She was like, I get asked to sign books all the time. And I say no because it feels weird to sign something I did not write. It feels like I'm taking credit for her book.
By the way, 100%.
She said, it doesn't mean I saw a script and didn't like it. It just means I'm not signing something I didn't create.
Or that I'm not a part of yet.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything. I didn't think her not signing it. I thought it was very respectful to the author.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was like a sign that like she hated the script.
Yeah.
No, but she has to.
Be Celia St. James.
And Asa Gonzalez.
Has to be Evelyn Hugo. Or Ana de Armas would be good too.
She would.
Yeah, I'd be happy with either of those.
But Ana de Armas gets every role.
Yeah, that's
like
so
it's
true.
Not fair. Like leave something for Asa Gonzalez. You
that's
know?
So true.
All right, ready for our next story? A little T Swift news. This is crazy. Have you heard about this? Taylor Swift sidestepped the FTX lawsuit just by asking a simple question.
Okay, please explain.
Okay, you know what FTX is?
It's a ticket thing.
No. Mm. So FTX, in like Thanksgiving time of last year, it like blew up. So it was this app for crypto, kind of like Coinbase, oh. You know, you use Robinhood for stocks.
Sure.
And FTX was this major app that like millions and millions of people were using to make money, sell crypto, coins, all that stuff. And it turns out the whole thing was fraudulent. They stole money from people. People who put money in the app, like never got it back. They worked with Shaq. They worked with Tom Brady. They worked with huge celebrities to promote this, getting people on the app. And I guess they had made an offer to Taylor Swift. So when it comes to making business decisions, Taylor Swift does her due diligence all too well. Very funny, CNBC. So in 2021, the pop superstar was approached by the now bankrupt crypto exchange FTX, offering her a $100 million sponsorship deal that would have involved selling her tickets as NFTs to her fans. However, it never materialized. Before inking the deal, Swift just asked the FTX representatives a simple question. Adam Moskowitz, who's one of the attorneys leading the class action lawsuit on behalf of people towards FTX, they're suing the celebrity endorsers because it's promoted this fraudulence and I lost money. So he went on a podcast called The Scoop and said, in our discovery, Taylor Swift actually asked them, can you tell me that these are not unregistered securities? And they were unregistered securities, thus making the whole thing fraudulent. So she never took the deal. Even if it weren't for that, I don't think she ever would have done the deal because she's not going to ask her fans to buy NFTs, like, especially for this tour. Like, it was so important and everything had to go right. Like, Ticketmaster didn't even go right. I don't think she would have done it anyway, but the Moskowitz lawsuit is seeking $5 billion in damages, according to their website. They claim that FTX's high-profile promoters didn't properly research FTX before participating in the offer and sale of unregistered securities in the form of yield-bearing accounts. Swift is one of the only few celebrities to question the exchange. Swift is not named in the lawsuit, and of course, she did not return a request for comment. So this is so crazy because, like, classic Taylor Swift having her ducks in a row.
I know, but, like, isn't she tired? Like sometimes, like, do you know what I mean? Like having, like doing your due diligence with like everything.
She has people. I don't think she was like, let's find out if it's unregistered. She had like the professional business people.
But wouldn't everybody? Like, you wouldn't think Tom Brady
would know better. But this reminds me a lot of Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, Bella Hadid promoting something that put people like in danger.
So true.
Do we blame the influencer or do we blame the brand? And it's similar to this. Do we blame FTX or do we blame Shaq? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's like you obviously blame the brand.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's obviously a responsibility on
someone this major.
The endorser.
But I don't think like Taylor was really ever, even if they were like not unregistered. I feel like they didn't even get
to the point of like her actually considering it. Like I'm sure it was like they got this deal. Her team did the due diligence first and then would bring it to her.
Right. But they didn't. They knew it was not viable and never even brought it to her. But she comes out looking like a business
queen. $100 million is not enough.
For Taylor.
Yeah.
No, for her tour. Like, she's probably going to, this tour is going to gross over $1 billion.
Yeah.
She's already played to 1 million people. Isn't that crazy?
She has.
Like 800,000.
Speaking of, did you see that? The video of Amanda Stanton's kids?
I did. Amanda Stanton from The Bachelorette went to the Eras tour somewhere and had the best tickets ever. And her daughters are so cute and sweet. And they were all dressed up as like princesses.
They knew every word.
And Taylor like saw them the whole show and kept singing to them.
Yeah. It was so cute. There's a video on her Instagram.
Now that's why you have kids.
Yeah, totally. My God. Taylor Swift can
notice
them. Maybe
I'll steal Michaela.
Oh my God.
Just for the show.
Taylor would bring her up on stage.
Taylor, she would be so like blown away by her beauty.
Yeah,
that's totally. We should kidnap Kayla.
I don't think it'd be a kidnapping. I think Olivia would let, and I think Kayla would want to come.
I don't think Olivia would let. Like, concerts are like crazy. And Michaela's like really young.
Yeah, that's just so true.
Like, I don't think you could bring a 2-year-old to a concert. I don't know.
People have done crazier shit.
Yeah, I see all the girlies like out here pumping at Eras. Like, they are queens. Like, literally going to the bathroom and not even going to the bathroom.
No, the amount of TikToks I've seen have been like, I got appendicitis surgery this morning and now I'm here.
Yeah, like, no, everyone is doing the most.
Yeah.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, like, it's actually hard for me to talk about this story because Margo and I have like something that we need to share. So last night, what time was it at 7? Well, you were on your way to, what time was your date?
My date was 8:45, so it was 8:30.
So at 8:30, Margo texts me and she says, Claudia? I said, yes, Margo. I was in my bed, you know, me time. She says, Taylor's at blank, a restaurant we go to like multiple times a week, literally every week. She said, I know a few people there. Everyone is texting me. Taylor's,
Nicole was there.
Nicole was there. Texting Margo. Taylor was there having dinner with Gigi, Cara Delevingne,
and Blake Lively.
And Blake Lively. In the restaurant, not even in a private room, like in the restaurant. Everyone, like the way she walked in and everybody in New York knew about it within 5 minutes. Like,
no, that's what was the craziest thing is because this happened right before my date and then I'm on the date and like, obviously you have to put your phone down.
Uh-huh.
And like the whole time I'm just like
in pain.
And when I picked up my phone, like I genuinely had so many text messages about it. And I'm like, it's really so crazy. Also because notice that there, I haven't seen a paparazzi photo.
I know, I was going to make it a story today. Like, Gigi, Blake, and everyone goes out with Taylor. And they just had the story 2 nights ago. She was at Casa Cipriani with Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. And so funny, somebody had texted me who was at Casa Cipriani and said, Taylor Swift is here with Ryan Gosling. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's
Ryan Gosling. And then the next day I saw the story. I'm like, oh, my friend was just mistaken. Yeah. She's obviously not obsessed like I am with everything that goes on in Hollywood. So Margo and I like knew that she was at our favorite restaurant, like knew we could just walk in there. But like Margo was on a date and I was like home looking like a rat. By the time I like brushed my hair and like put makeup on, she would have been gone.
Yeah.
And got downtown.
And also everyone was telling me like just to bring my date like to the restaurant. I don't think you understand. Like, I couldn't have this man seeing me like that.
Margo, I just want to say, like, you probably could have. Like,
No. I would have been so embarrassing. Also, like, I would just,
it's for the best that he knows that you're, like, deeply unwell when it comes to Taylor.
I mean, I obviously brought it up, so, like, he was aware.
Oh, good. Just so you could talk about it.
Yeah, I had to. I had to get it out.
What did he say? Does he like Taylor?
Yeah. I mean, he's like,
no, I feel like some people are like, oh, she's so overrated.
No.
She just writes songs about her boyfriend.
No. He's not one of those.
Because that's, like, immediate red flag, deal breaker.
Immediate,
goodbye.
Like, goodbye, deal breaker.
Yeah. Because he obviously doesn't support women in the arts.
Yeah, if that was sure. Okay. But I,
so you didn't go.
We didn't go. And I don't know. I also like, what are you going to do? You can't go up to her. So I'm just going to sit and stare.
No, I feel like,
I would have not been okay.
I would have just, went
I weirdly and, like don't want to meet her ever.
I know.
Because I can't handle it.
I don't know. Like one time she sent me merch. What if like I walked in there and like we made eye contact? She'd be like, oh, girl with no job. Uh-huh. No, that's like crazy. I know, I'm totally kidding. But she did send me merch once, even though it's probably like Tree or, you know, some assistant, some lowly PR girl who was just like happy for the task. But maybe.
Yeah.
Girl can dream. Maybe she listens to The Toast.
Imagine.
I feel like I would listen to a podcast where they talk about me every day in the most complimentary, beautiful ways.
It's just like, I don't want to be her fan. I want to be her friend.
Margo, that's like so real.
That's so real.
But like, you know what's cool about Taylor? It's like all of her friends are her fans. Like, did you see on opening night when like Haim and Emma Stone, they all went and they were like in merch, like geeking out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she kind of likes that. So maybe like we have a chance.
I know. I really think she'd like love us.
No, here's the thing about Taylor that I know she would like about us. Like, one, we respect her. And we so always much. Have. Yeah. We don't have a history of...
No, we're not a flip-flopper.
We're not flip-floppers. Two, she's so family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hello, who's more family-oriented than us?
No one.
And I feel like when it comes to her friendships, she looks for like very few things. Loyalty, trust, fun. That's us. LTF.
LTF.
How loyal are we?
Beyond.
You can
to a fault.
The thing is, like, you can really trust me. Yeah. Like, the way I know so much about so many things, like... It's crazy. And I don't say them on the toast. Like, I was actually thinking the other day, like, I was having this crazy conversation with, like, an A-list celebrity in my Instagram, and I did not say anything on the toast. Because, like, if I want to keep having those conversations, I can't be out here, like, blowing shit up.
1,000%.
Even though it kills me, because if you guys knew, like, you would die.
Yeah.
Fun? I mean...
No one's more fun.
Taylor, come with us to Stagecoach. You'll never want to go anywhere without us.
Ever.
This is just our pitch, like our Shark Tank elevator pitch. Taylor, I know you're not in the market because you have like amazing friends.
A million friends like, and you're so busy.
And they're like richer and like more beautiful than us. But what we lack in looks and money, we make up for in charisma and talent.
And personality.
Oh my God, she would be cackling with us.
Cackling.
Cackling, joke, 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 joke. And like we can make jokes about like people she hates. You know, like
oh
she
my God.
Love it.
Yeah.
Just an idea. I'm just throwing it out there, Taylor. Feel free to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Taylor, while you think about it, I'll let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by Single Drunk Female. From the executive producer of Girls, we've got a brand new show on Freeform and Hulu called Single Drunk Female. The Guardian actually called Single Drunk Female a next level Fleabag. So... We've talked a lot about this show. Again, it's from the executive producer of Girls. It's about Samantha Fink, and she is on her journey of sobriety. And I saw Hannah Berner on a podcast say, like, sobriety is in right now.
It is.
And Samantha Fink knows that. Getting sober was not the end of her journey. In season one, which we all watched last year, it was a journey to get there. And now that she's sober, she's starting from rock bottom. We'll see the real challenges and all the hard work in being an adult, finding personal success, and learning to celebrate yourself while sober. So while Samantha Fink may have started at rock bottom, she's here now somewhere in the middle. She's 549 days sober, not that she's counting, and things are looking up. So if you're interested in like a fun, good show, which like there's nothing out nothing. There these days that's just like, actually funny and light and like has heart, check out Single Drunk Female. The season one reviews were amazing. I loved it. Again, it's just nice to have something light to watch that's like cute and funny and everybody's like good looking. I just really like that. It's really funny. They have really good, I feel like, an authentic portrayal of sobriety. Freeform Single Drunk Female, all the episodes are now streaming on Hulu. Enjoy it. It's really good, and I feel like it's very toasty. Today's episode is also brought to you by Droplet. If you've been listening to our show over the last few weeks, then you've heard us talk about our new skincare devices that we've been using called the Droplet. Droplet takes powerful skincare ingredients and turns them into fast-moving micro mists that painlessly deliver them into your skin. And this is important because your skin works as a barrier, making it incredibly difficult for your skincare ingredients to really seep into your skin instead of just sitting on the surface. So it means like the collagen, which is notoriously too large for absorption, but it's critical for maintaining firm, hydrated, youthful skin, can now actually penetrate into your skin and keep it healthy. So I've been using the collagen in the Droplet for the last few weeks. I definitely feel a big difference in how my skin is absorbing. I feel like I used to do like big skincare routines with like 1,000 things and then lay in bed and it would just like wipe off on my pillow.
Yeah.
But the Droplet, like, it absorbs right up.
What movie?
I don't remember.
She's the Man with the tan line.
It absorbs right up.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
The Droplet collagen formula includes other powerhouse ingredients like peptides, air germline, and it offers the lifting effect of injectables without needles, pain, or downtime. So the product is really amazing. For a limited time, our listeners can get $200 off their Droplet device.
That is a crazy deal.
At droplet.io. when you use code TOAST. So that's droplette.io. That code is TOAST to get $200 off your Droplet device. Droplet.io. That code is TOAST. All right, our next story. Twitter has removed blue check marks from legacy verified accounts, including Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Kim Kardashian, The Toast, Jennifer Lopez, and more. So Elon Musk's purge of blue check marks from Twitter accounts verified under the company's previous regime has begun. Now a blue checkmark badge on Twitter primarily signifies that it's the account of a person No, it's an account belonging to someone who is paying Twitter for the perk. This article is so shady. I just rephrased it because they were like being shady, but it's like, now, this is from Variety. Now, a blue check mark on Twitter primarily signifies that it's an account belonging to someone who is paying Musk, one of the world's wealthiest individuals, for the perk.
Oh.
Just to be clear, like when you spend the $5 a month on...
It's not going into Elon Musk's bank account.
No, he's trying to make Twitter a profitable business because they literally have been like losing... They're the biggest tech company in the world and like has been losing money. That was just like shady. Like whatever you feel about Elon, like that's just not. Now, we lost our verified check mark and they were like, do you want to pay for Twitter blue? And I was like, fuck no, that's literally so embarrassing. I think having a check mark now on Twitter used to be a sign of, you know, priority and privilege.
Yeah.
And now it's humiliating if you have one because you're paying for it.
Can I argue the same thing on Instagram?
You don't pay for it.
That you do now.
You do.
Not you. Like, if you're verified before all of this, like, that's whatever. But you can now buy... where have you been?
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Am I an influencer?
You can buy verification now. And it's like you pay per month. And
but do you have the same verification as everyone else?
What do you mean?
Like it should look a little different. Nope, it's, like, bitch, I paid for this.
It's same exact thing. So now like people...
How much is it?
I don't remember. I want to say it's like either 15 or like 10 okay. or 5 between that. And
you obviously have to have like a minimum amount of followers. No,
no,
there's no prerequisites.
No,
I didn't know that.
Yes. And it's like, that's why, like, I don't know if you've been seeing more like verified people. Like,
I actually have.
Yeah. And it's not real. And it's like, it's honestly like, it's annoying.
No, it is, because
maybe you have to be a business account in order to buy it. But like that.
But the like the whole point of inventing verifications was to, you know, be able to tell when somebody who's well known know that you're looking at their profile, because there are so many fake profiles.
Right.
So really, like, it was invented verification for a purpose.
To verify an identity.
Right. And so this is just weird. And I feel like everyone's talking about Twitter.
And people are saying it's good for, like, businesses, because, like, you, like, it makes you, like, look more legitimate.
Right.
Which, like, that makes sense. But it's not just businesses who are doing it.
No, like, no. It's just so weird, because it's funny, because I feel like everyone just hates Elon. Like, everyone's talking about this Twitter thing. I didn't even hear that you could do that.
Yeah. This rolled out, like, sooner. But the difference is that...
They're not removing. Yeah. So if you, like, if someone you know, like, newly becomes verified, like, you know they paid for it.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Well, on Twitter, like, a lot of... And they're also changing, like, if you're a website, like... CBS or whatever, you have a gold one. It means you're like a publication or a news.
Okay.
So it's different, but if you have a blue one and you're like a celebrity, like paying for it, like that's like so embarrassing.
So embarrassing. It's like, why do you care that much?
No, especially like on Twitter, irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
I haven't seen everyone I follow who's like famous, like doesn't have anything. People are not buying it.
I don't think anyone's going to buy it.
But then Elon also said he was going to keep, he's going to pay for
his own.
No, like LeBron James, like three people who he like really liked. He's going to pay for them to keep it. Like he's going to buy Twitter blue for them. I mean, this is moronic, and I don't know what, but the thing is like when you look at Twitter from like a business perspective, like I do believe like Elon is like making them like a lot of money.
Well, I'm sure.
Like he did lay off a bunch of the people who like were not necessary needed. To him, and now he's like creating new revenue streams. So like it's weird, but I do think Elon is like actually making Twitter a profitable business, which is why he bought it for $40 billion
for sure. But it's right now, like yeah. Long term, will that
I don't know, but like Elon is like the wealthiest man on the planet for a reason, so like I trust him.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
Like if I had a business that needed turning around and they were like, are you gonna have Elon do it or someone else, like I'll give it to Elon.
Yeah, for sure.
My next story is something I'm obsessed with that's going on this weekend. Sophia Richie's wedding.
Oh my God, I was talking her on the way here.
Stalking her on the way here because she just joined TikTok to kind of like blow up probably about her wedding. Her TikTok handle is her soon to be married name.
Sophia Richie Grange.
She's getting married abroad. So I'm sure she actually probably is already legally married.
I think
married.
They are. I saw a TikTok. He was like wearing his wedding ring.
So her fiance, Elliot Grange, and her have hit. By the way, do you know that she's the beauty director of Nude Sticks?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's really smart. She joined TikTok to share her wedding festivities, but like we've already been seeing it because we follow Octopus Lover. Do you know he's there?
Yeah, of course. Jake Shane.
Is that crazy? Like, is he friends with Elliot?
I'm pretty sure he's cousins with Elliot.
How fun for him.
Yeah.
And I've been like waiting with bated breath to see celebrity arrivals. Cameron Diaz and her husband and son, or daughter, excuse me, just arrived.
That makes sense.
Why does it make sense? How do they know each other?
Cameron Diaz is married to Benji Madden.
Uh-huh.
Whose brother is married to Nicole Richie.
Oh, man, look at you. I couldn't connect it this morning.
I don't know which Matt and each is married to, but they're married to brothers.
Cameron is married to Benji. Benji's brother is Joel. Joel is married to Nicole Richie. That is how... And Nicole Richie and Cameron Diaz are friends, obviously, because of that. So I saw him being there, but I didn't see, like, a lot. Of course, Lionel would be there and Nicole.
Well, it's only Friday now, so I feel like everyone's probably getting there, like, today.
And she's being so cool about it. She's just acting like a regular girl. She's not, like... She's sharing everyone's stories, who's posting her.
Yeah, but she's not, like... Her captions aren't, like, about wedding. Like, it's
she's
just...
So cool,
and I like love her new style of like just being like effortlessly chic, like chic,
classic,
and Chanel. Timeless,
and a Jewish queen.
I know she converted,
so they'll probably get married like under a chuppah with 100%. A rabbi. I'm obsessed,
and I can't wait to see her dress. I feel like it's definitely going to be Chanel because
she's a
Chanel girl right now,
and like octopus lover. Who is at the wedding, like, is a toaster. And, like, it's very possible he's, like, laying at the beach right now at Hotel du Cap. And he's listening to the toast, like, giggling and being like, hey, Sophia, like...
They're talking about you.
You got to listen to this pod.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah,
well, Sophia, just, like, keep turning out the content. We need more.
I wonder if any, like, young Hollywood is going to be there, though. Like, who are her friends?
Like, she's not, like, a star fucker annoying, like, a million famous friends.
Like, she's not, like, a Hailey Bieber friend?
I don't know. She, like, was for a while when she was dating Scott because she was, like, with that crew a lot. But she just seems very balanced and very normal.
No,
which is
I
why
agree.
I think so many people like her.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen like crazy amounts of celebrities, but you're right. The wedding is probably on Sunday if it's an Orthodox wedding.
Right.
I'm obsessed. And he's so cute. And everyone says he looks like Ben.
He does. He does. You know, his dad is like the CEO of Universal Music Group.
I knew he was like big in music.
Yeah.
I thought he did it on his own. I didn't realize he was a Nepo baby. But you know what? We'd love to see Nepo babies marrying one another.
Yeah, 100%.
To create grand Nepo babies.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Obsessed.
She's so beautiful. And you know what? Like after Scott Disick, I am so...
She deserves this.
She deserves the world.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy. And like, what's better? Not that this is why she's doing it.
No, I know what you're going to say.
But what's better than just like stunting on your ex with like a better man, a better everything, and just like...
Getting married
in like the most... Literally one of the nicest hotels in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the wedding is actually there, but that's where everyone's staying. I imagine it is there.
I imagine it is as well.
I'm obsessed.
You're obsessed.
And like, imagine just being a hotel guest at like... Because I don't think they took over the whole hotel.
No.
Because I see like people in the background, just like hotel guests.
Yeah, imagine.
And if you're a hotel guest at that hotel, since it's like so private and expensive, and I think you actually have to be approved to stay there, you're obviously like of a certain caliber, so you're not, you know...
Obsessing over and talking about it on a podcast.
Which is why we're not there.
Right.
All right, our fifth and final story is something I can't believe doesn't happen more. An unclaimed Powerball ticket worth $1.5 million is set to expire. Time is running out. Nobody has claimed it. So someone in California is the winner of a $1.5 million lottery prize, and they may not even know it. The California Lottery announced on Tuesday that time is running out to claim the prize, which is set to expire next week. Days have turned into weeks, weeks have turned into months, and the California Lottery is still waiting for the player who bought a winning Powerball ticket in Los Gatos this past October to come forward. The winning ticket, which was drawn on October 26, 2022, is due to expire on April 24th, and it has these numbers, 1936, whatever. They were missing the Powerball number, which is why it wasn't like $1 billion, but they had everything but the Powerball number, so it's a $1.5 million ticket. It's been traced back to a purchase at the mobile gas station on Los Gatos Boulevard in Santa Clara County. The winning ticket was one of two that matched five numbers, missing only the Powerball in the draw on Wednesday, October 26, officials wrote. Anyone who may have purchased the ticket for drawing is encouraged to search their car, junk drawer, wallet, and any other place they stash their ticket to see if they have one. At this point, there's no way of knowing if this was a local resident who bought the Powerball ticket or if it was someone just passing through. And you know what? I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often because lottery tickets like are not digital in any way. Like if you open your window and it blows out the car window, like you're fucked.
Also, I have two things to say. One, how do they keep track? Because it's like, think about it when you go to like a bodega and you buy like a lottery thing. Like, I don't think that they, like the cashier is keeping track of like which number
card.
So like, how do you know?
The machines that like the lottery people sell to the bodegas, like track all the data. That's how they know. It's like when the Powerball's $1 billion and everyone's running out and getting tickets, they'll say a winning thing was printed and it's in California.
Oh, and then also like, because everyone is like so, you know, selfish. I'm shocked that the company, whatever it is, Powerball, like even reminded, like keep your money.
I was thinking that too, because I was probably a lot of unclaimed tickets go by with like, you know, a couple hundred thousand, not the billion ones. But every now and then I'm sure somebody loses a ticket and they wouldn't want to remind because they don't want to give the money away. But they are.
That's why I'm shocked.
I'm shocked too, but I'm actually not shocked. I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
Like that episode of Friends.
By the way, whoever it is probably knows and probably accidentally threw it out and is probably
killing them.
Like we need to check in on them.
So I have bought lottery tickets many times in my life, and I always take a picture of them.
Smart.
But I don't know if that is eligible. Like if
this isn't a coat check.
Right. Like if I, literally, if I won the lottery and I lost the ticket, but I said, I have a picture of it. Would they be like, sure.
They think it's Photoshopped. Like they'd probably,
but maybe they could check the barcode at
like
the bottom.
Maybe they could do like a run a thing on it. But like, I'm sure they would need it in hand.
I just feel like the lottery needs to modernize. Even though if the lottery was digital, everyone would be much more skeptical of it.
1,000%. Like I think it's actually so much better that it's...
Like it's cash only.
It's
on paper. It's very like, you know, Oregon Trail. Yeah. Like it's so old school.
So old school, but better that way.
But you know, many years ago when there was like a big $1 billion Powerball, I bought tickets and I lost half of them. But someone else won and it was in California. But like,
why is it always in California?
Why is it always in California? That's such a good point. Yeah. Yeah. So those were the Fast Five stories. Hopefully whoever has this ticket, like, get it so you can go on my lottery dream home. That's what I would do if I won the lottery. I would go.
But it's 1.5 million, so it's really like 750,000.
It's 750,000, and that's if they take the lump sum. I mean, that's if they don't take the lump sum, and if they do take the lump sum, it's probably like 500. Still a shit ton of money.
Yeah. I could use it.
Maybe I'll have to check my car or my junk drawer. Maybe I have the winning ticket.
All of a sudden you live in California.
Maybe I was in Los Gatos, Santa Clara.
Los Gatos.
Those are the Fast Five. That was a toasty week. We're back next week. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
And anything else you want to say to the peeps? Anything you want to promote? Well, I want to promote Margo's merch, toastmerch.com. New crewnecks, mugs, phone cases, and our new toasty designs with our new logo, our first merch drop since our rebrand. Just get it. Like, I feel like it would be insulting to your intelligence if I explained why they're so fabulous. Like, you have eyes.
Yeah, and they're so comfortable, too.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, no, just follow me everywhere. Instagram, TikTok.
And where would they follow you?
YouTube, at Margoshray.
1-0,
Margoshray. And, yeah, that's really it. We're going to Stagecoach next week.
Oh, my God.
We're going to Nashville the week after.
Oh, speaking of Stagecoach, for a Patreon episode this month that went up yesterday, I did a vlog trying to get my outfits ready, and it was really a journey. Although I did end up with 2 good outfits so far.
I was halfway through it when watching. I'll tell you my thoughts later.
Did you get to my first good outfit?
The sweater vest?
Yeah.
Love.
Love, right?
Love.
Okay. So it's like a really fun, kind of chaotic vlog because everything on this planet is backless and cropped, and some of us have big jugs and rolls on their stomach that they don't want to show off. I know it's like kind of crazy. So patreon.com/toast for a vlog, a little giggle before you get into the weekend. But I hope everyone has a great weekend. Thanks for a great week here at The Toast. We're back next week. We love you dearly. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast of Millennium Morning Show. We deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. I feel like I'm giving a bat mitzvah parsha. Have a great weekend. We love you dearly.
Bye.
Great. You were great, Counts. Thanks. Really, some of your best work.